Now, friends, this morning I'll be ministering from the phone, a penny with a hole in it. I've already gotten several questions. David, what is that all about? And you'll find out in just a minute. But on that note, before we get into the scriptures and the meat of the message, let me just share with you a quick little short story here as it relates to the title. A man once came to Peter Marshall, former chaplain of the United States Senate, with a concern about tithing. He says, "I have a problem. I've been tithing for some time, and it wasn't too bad when I was making $20,000 a year. I could afford to give up $2,000 easily. But now God has richly blessed me, and I'm making now $500,000, and there is just no way in the world I can give away $50,000 a year." Peter Marshall reflected on this wealthy man's dilemma, but gave no advice. He simply said, "Yes, sir, I see that you do have a problem. By the way, would you mind me praying with you?" And so they gathered and they began to pray. And Dr. Marshall bowed his head and prayed, "Dear Lord, this man has a problem, and I pray that you would help him. Please reduce his salary back to the place where he can afford to tithe again." Once again, friends, in brief, a penny with a hole in it. Will you pray with me now before we get into the reading of the scriptures? A penny with a hole in it. "Now, O God, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my rock and my radical redeemer. Take my little words, make them much. Undergird me now with the power of the Holy Spirit and your anointing. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen." Two scriptures out of the Gospel of Luke. The first is the 28th verse, 14th chapter. It reads, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it?" And secondly, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, listen carefully again to the word of God. "As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to Almighty God. Friends, let me begin with a quote shared by Gandhi. He says, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Friends, I think Gandhi was addressing what's becoming a growing chasm in the church today, and that some people like the idea of Christianity, but from their actions prove that they don't really love the true Christ of Christianity. This reminds me of what a preacher out of Milwaukee said recently. "Any percent of almost is actually 100% nothing. If you almost made the basket, well, you 100% missed the basket. If you almost gave the homeless person the blanket, you 100% didn't turn around to give anything. If you almost lost 25 pounds, you didn't lose the 25 pounds. If you almost caught that big fish, you have 100% missed the big fish. If you almost visited those who were in prison, you 100% didn't visit them in prison." Friends, this kind of mentality epitomizes the kind of Christian or disciple that I consider iffy at best. Very nearly, but not exactly entirely. That's what I mean by iffy. It represents those who are not willing to pay the cost. In the words of Frederick Douglass classifies these kinds of individuals. He says, "People who are not willing to pay the cost are men who want crops without plowing up the ground. They are people who want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters. In essence, they want a crown, but they are not willing to bear a cross. Is that you this morning? In the Old Testament, we learn several significant offerings that were given from time to time in temple worship. And before I go any further in mentioning the offerings, let me just press upon you the premise of this morning's message. Here it is, very simple. Sacrifice is a major ingredient for success. If I want tremendous success, I have to be willing to sow a significant sacrifice or make a significant sacrifice. Here are the offerings. There were at least four offerings that are noted in Scripture. Burnt offerings, which was the centerpiece of temple worship. Sin offerings, that which restored a person or place that had become unclean. Then there were guilt offerings, that which made restitution for an unwittingly committed misdeed. And then there were also thanksgiving offerings. Thank you, Lord, for all of the goodness you've done. Offerings that were offered to the Lord out of gratitude. Here's the catch. Each offering is intended in a different way to commemorate or restore the relationship between the Lord and his people. Out of all of the offerings, all of them were given at a cost. And that's kind of what I want to speak about today. What are we given, and is it costing us anything? Once again, friends, sacrifice is a major ingredient for success. I think in the biblical text of the widow, this widow represents someone who gave out of quality. And the rich persons gave out of quantity. So the question is, are we a qualitative giver or are we quantitative givers? There is a huge difference. If we don't sacrifice out of control eating and the time to diet and exercise, we will not experience the success of losing weight. If we don't sacrifice by investing and saving money and disciplining ourselves in the area of out-of-control spending, we will not experience the success of building significant wealth. If we don't sacrifice the competing comfort zones of egotistical elitism, classism, and sexism, and in some cases even racism, we will not experience the success and power of the risen Christ in Christianity today. Convenience and worldly comforts are in many regards competing influences that can eclipse us from the clarion call of a commitment. Once again, friends, you can't have success without significant sacrifice. Not only can't you have success without significant sacrifice, but secondly, sacrifices that are significant will always cost you something. If you don't believe me, let's look quickly at David. The story from 2 Samuel 24. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but there's a very good story. If you get a minute, read that whole chapter of 24. The story is told that one day David went throughout and told one of his leaders, hey, I want you to go throughout Israel, the tribe, and give a census. Take a census. Count everyone you can. And it took this person 9 months to count. And this greatly offended God, because most kings, when they took a census, it was for political power or to wage war or to tax the people. And God had not really led David to do this. And so God says, well, you're going to suffer one of three consequences. Either you can suffer a famine for 3 years, either you can be chased by an enemy for 3 months, or you can suffer a three-day plague that I'm going to loose upon you. And so David went with option three. I probably would have went with option three, too. It was a plague. So for 3 days, David endured a plague, and 70,000 people died, and he pleaded with the Lord and begged the Lord, Lord, take it out against me. It was my fault. Spare the people. And so he told the prophet, well, you're going to have to render a sacrifice if you want God to answer this prayer. And so David goes to this king to purchase a threshing floor where he's to build an altar and make a sacrifice. And when he gets there, the king tells him in essence, hey, David, here are all the materials. Here's the rope or the fire. Here's everything you need to make this sacrifice. And David says, well, I don't want it for free. Can you bring up that text? I don't want it. I insist on paying you for it. He says, I will not make a sacrifice to the Lord my God if it does not cost me something. Catch that. David was not willing to render a sacrifice that didn't cost him something. Sacrifices that are significant will always cost us something. Well, David, what's the cost?
Glad you asked. And it depends really on who you ask. If you were to ask Jephthah, he would tell you, it cost me my daughter. If you were to ask Zebedee, he would tell you, it cost me my two boys, Peter and John. If you were to ask Zacchaeus, he would tell you, it cost me four times the amount that of what I originally had taken. And if you were to ask John the Baptist, he would tell you, it cost me my head on a platter. It's always a cost associated with sacrifice. Now, if your sacrifice doesn't cost you anything, you can expect to gain nothing. It definitely has to cost you something if it's going to be significant. In other words, Paul says it this way, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Here's a quote by Gregory A. Boyd. He says it this way, the kingdom of God advances by people lovingly placing themselves under others, in service to others, at cost to themselves. And I think this is why the widow's offering was so powerful, because she gave at a point and at a degree where it cost her something. What about you? Does your giving today cost you something? Or does it not matter? You don't even miss what you give. It's not even a process. You're just giving out of ritual and not out of heart. Back to the text in Luke 21, 1 through 4. This widow didn't give out of her wealth, but rather she gave her all out of her poverty. Friends, as I hasten to a close, let me share one closing story with you. The story was told of this very rich business owner. He was trying to impress his clients, and so he went to a boatyard to purchase a boat to take all of his clients out on this wild fun ride so that they could stick and stay within his company. And so he went to a boatyard to purchase a boat, and all of the boats didn't impress him, and he looked behind the boatyard, and there was an antique yacht, and it would carry at least 20 people. And he says, oh, that's perfect. But the business owner told him, well, that's my personal toy, and that's really not for sale. And by the way, you don't want to take that out in the water. That's 40 years old. All of the original fixtures and parts, the motor, et cetera, is 40 years old. And I don't even use it. I just like to gaze upon it. And he says, well, I want that yacht. I think that will make the impression that I'm trying to make. And so they began to negotiate, and he began to take them higher and higher. And finally, the owner sold the yacht. And so here he is, 2 hours out in the middle of the ocean with all of his clients, and they're dancing and listening to jazz and eating wine and cheese and being served, and they're just living it up. And all of a sudden, someone begins to smell smoke. And you know the saying, where there is smoke, there's fire. And so they went down in the bottom deck, and they noticed that the motor had burned up and some things were, oil was dripping, and everything was in a roar. And he got on the phone and he called the business owner. He says, okay, I'll send my mechanic. And the mechanic rushed out, but all of the tools that the mechanic had did not fit the fixtures on this boat. Friends, what am I trying to say? If the solution, the size of the solution does not meet the demand or fit the demand, the solution then, my friends, is as worthless as a penny with a hole in it. I think that's what Richard Stearns is trying to get us to see today, that what we once used years ago is not working today. And the church has to pay a cost. We have to make certain sacrifices, did you catch that, in order to remain current with the demands of these times. But the question is, are we willing to make the sacrifice? Are we willing to make and pay the cost? Faith, in closing, my friends, without works, is as worthless as a penny with a hole in it. Love without action is as worthless, my friends, as a penny with a hole in it. Sacrifice without cost is as worthless as a penny with a hole in it. Justice without mercy is as worthless as a penny with a hole in it. Christianity without a cross is as worthless as a penny with a hole in it. The gospel that preaches to the haves but not the have-nots is as worthless as a penny with a hole in it. Conviction of character that does not lead to significant change is as worthless as a penny. Come on, give me an amen somewhere in here. As worthless as a penny with a hole in it. Salvation without surrender is as worthless as a penny with a hole in it. Friends, I think Charles Wesley said it best when he framed this hymn, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, never dying soul to save, but fitted for the sky, to serve this present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do the Master's will. Amen. Amen. Friends, in essence, all of this message is suggesting is that we give to the Lord, that we make significant sacrifices that cost us something. Because the ones that really cost us something are the ones that really make a difference. And so I impress upon you in closing, please don't allow your faith to become as worthless as a penny with a hole in it. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the witness of this widow who gave two simple coins, but she gave it with great love. And God, we pray in the same fashion that we will give you our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ our best. Because when you died on the cross, it exemplifies God giving the church and the world his best. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.